that govern the world system and how we got to obey the laws within the system, which is right, according to the scripture, according to Romans 13:1, it says obey all those that are in authority. And we find that all authority comes from God, right? God is over all authority, really. But we're going to talk about authority in the home. There has been a misconception about home, about husband and about wives and children, how they should obey authority. And I want to go a little more in depth with it according to Brother Nee's statements and some scriptures that we're going to cover. And we're going to try to pull the cover off some of these scriptures. I think been misinterpreted, mistaught, caused marriages to suffer and misunderstand relationships in marriages. We'll know what the Bible says about a husband being authority and husband whipping their wife with scriptures and trying to make them obey. And it's just been chaos sometimes in marriages. Satan tried to divide the house. Because once you divide the house, the church already divided. If you're spiritual leaders within the church, if your house is divided, your church can be divided. The apostle talks about, Paul talks about, make sure your household is in order first, prior to trying to get the church of God in order. You see it? So let's talk about it, and then we're going to get some words defined and get some spiritual understanding about what God really thinks about authority in the home. And I hope the Lord answers some questions for you tonight. You know, especially those that are married, those that are contemplating marriage, and those that want to do it right, you know. I want to enter into a marriage covenant with understanding, you know, about this relationship. And I think it help us to know what the Bible says. Rightly divide. You understand? And so I want our scripture going to be over in Ephesians 5. But I want to give you a couple definitions for it. The first word is subject. 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 Or subject. Look what it says. O-W-I-N-G. Obedience. Or allegiance to the power or dominion of another. Owing obedience. Can you owe obedience? Yeah. Sometimes obedience is due. And you're paying obedience. Or allegiance to the power or dominion of another. Those that have been set in a position of authority. And then here's the word submit. There are two words, subject, submit. I just want to clarify both of them because the next scripture you're about to go to, Paul using them both. He used both words in the same scripture. And I want to bring some clarification to it. Submit means to yield oneself to the authority or will of another. Almost saying the same thing. To yield oneself. Then he used the word surrender. I like the word surrender. Surrender helped me understand that submit is not the controlling word, because if you're controlling someone that don't want to be controlled, then it causes chaos. Husband, speak to husband. A wife don't want to feel like she's controlled. I know I'm telling the truth. Nobody wants to feel like they're controlled. Like you got a remote control in your hand, trying to make them go left, go right, back up, go forward. So, but control is not a bad word. Make sure you properly control your vehicle. I'm using that as a statement. Or you can lose control of a vehicle. You're not maintaining control of a vehicle. In other words, I'm not properly operating this thing, and so it's not going to function like it's supposed to function if I don't have a handle on it. I'm talking two things. I'm saying two things more than one way. Now, let's go to scriptures, and then you're going to understand more clearer what I'm trying to say. Ephesians 5, verse 22. This scripture has been used to beat more wives up than a stick. I'm telling the whole truth. Because people get spiritual, and when they get spiritual, they try to use the words against one another in marriages. You ever seen that? What the Bible says is this. Yeah. Now, look what the first thing they say. Use this scripture here. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says?
Yes, sir.
That's what the Bible says. But the scripture said, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm going to say, like apostles say, if the word can be rightly divided, that means it can be what?
Wrongly divided.
I learned that too from an apostle. So if you don't get a proper revelation from the Holy Ghost on what's being said, you misinterpret it, and then instead of causing peace and harmony, and because the Bible stated it for a reason, God must have some benefit in saying this. But if there's benefit in saying this, why didn't there so much chaos? Why there's so much division? If it's to bring peace, why there's so much separation? Why there's so much divorce in the body of Christ? If the scripture supposed to bring peace, why my wife not subject to me? Why she ain't paying she ain't paying no attention to what I say? Why? The Bible says, wives, you're supposed to submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. All right. Now I got that out. But look at the next verse. The next verse says, for the husband is the head. I even defined the word head. Okay, but I'm going to give it to you a little bit later. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. See that 23rd verse? It clarified everything. This 23rd verse, it makes everything factual. It gives substance to everything that's being said now, and it brings this where the revelation resides, okay? But let me make a statement that Brother Nee says. And I agree with him 100%. Look what he says here. God has set the husband as the delegated authority of Christ, with the wife as representative of the church. You see that? Remember the two words. The authority of Christ and the wife as the representative of Christ. Remember those two things. And here's another statement. It would be difficult, listen at this close now, for the wife to be subject to her husband if she did not see the delegated authority vested in him was by God. You see? It would be this difficult for a wife to subject herself to her husband if she did not see If you don't see the delegated authority vested in him, is of God. So I'm not the head because I say I'm the head. I'm the head of my marriage because God says I am. God invested that authority in me, right? So if God did that, God had a reason to set the man or the husband in the position of authority. So the wife can be submissive to that authority. But it still don't give us reasonable grounds to understand it. Watch. But I'm gonna back up a little bit and we're gonna see some more things that are going to put this all together and let it make sense. Marriages should be easy. Now this not a matter of workshop. We're teaching on the authority of because there's so much confusion in this area. We teach on the authority in the home. For there to be authority in the home, there has to be submission in the home. God would not put authority if there was no submission. So it's all on the wife. We're gonna clarify all that in a little bit, but I want to get you thinking spiritually. I want you to get those questions stirred up in your head, in your mind, you know, concerning my position, my role that God set up. God set the husband as the head, as Christ, and God set the wife up as the church. All right? As the church is submitted unto Christ, so let the wife be submitted to their husband. All right? Now, I'm going around what I got to say. I'm not coming out and say it yet. Now let's find another purpose here now. Here's another purpose. That the wife are being submitted to their husband. Or wife should submit to her husband. That they may train the young women to love their husband. And to love their children. And to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subject to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's Titus 2:4-6. I'm not just quoting it from 2:4-4 and 5. I'm not just quoting this as a saying. I'm quoting it from the word of God. Let me read it again. That's Darby translational. That they may train the young women to love their husband, to love their What my husband hard to love? To love their husband, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's a strong scripture. Now, let's back up. Let's go back up to the scripture we started off with. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, let me tell you something that started to show ourselves approving to God. We need not be ashamed. Write the Bible in the word of truth. It stays to study, right? So study meaning sometimes you got to do a little research. Sometimes you got to back up and see why the Apostle Paul said this, why he went through all this. So in my study, I found out back in that era, back in the time when this was written, women wasn't highly regarded as equal to men. So women was operated one writer said, one theologian said, women were treated a little bit better than slaves. Matter of fact, sometimes the men would grab their wives by the hair and drag them sometimes. They didn't have a lot of respect. So what they were doing, they were forcing submission. They would make them submit by reason or by way of fear. Okay? So, when you force to submit, I'm submitting because there's a fear that if I don't submit, I might get beat, I might get dragged, or because a woman couldn't dishonor a man because she was treated harshly when she disrespected her husband. So there was a lot of fear factor here. Okay? So a woman obeyed through the element of fear. That's not good. You don't want your children to obey you because of fear. You don't want your wife to obey you because of fear. All right? I'm trying to train a little house dog right now. And sometimes you do things you don't want them to do. Jumping on the sofa and stuff like that. And so I got to treat him a little bit different. I swat him. So he respect me out of fear. See, God put that fear in the animal for man. Remember we read that? And so animals, but your wife's not an animal. You don't want that fear factor. That's the element of love. Husband, what? Now, this what the Apostle Paul was teaching at the time. So you got to get the whole story. What the Apostle Paul was teaching at back in the day when women were harshly treated and they only submitted out of element of fear. And now Apostle Paul preaching, wives, submit yourself unto your husband. Now, think about it now. They're not just going to submit because you tell them to do certain things. Has to be another element involved in this. See, you see, Paul bringing a new element into the relationship with Christ. With Christ, now that people got born again, he brought the element of love into the relationship. Love wasn't in the marriage relationship. It was duties. And it was replenishing the earth. But now the element of love being bringing in, so when a wife submit out of the element of love, then it's not forced. She wants to. When a person feels love, they want to submit. They want to depend upon their husband. They want that protection. But Paul stressed something real strong here in that 23rd verse. When he said, husband, love your wife, here's the revelation behind it. How he said to love your wife. Husband, love your wife. I'm trying to find my scripture. What verse is it in? 25? I don't have it in my notes. Let me find it here. Ephesians 5:25. Now you got to see this, because if you don't see this, you're going to miss the whole revelation of what I'm talking about. Of 24th verse. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, how is the church subject unto Christ? The church should be submitted to Christ, right? Out of fear? Should the church submit to Christ out of fear? What John 3:16 said? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in it. So we were recreated under the basis of what? Love. The new birth came on the basis of love. So now love is the ingredients that bring the relationship in a marriage to be like unto Christ, right? So I'm taking my time because I want you to get this. Look what it said in that 24th. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ in love, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Now, is it everything or something? You see it? Now, that's another question that had to be answered. Am I submit to my husband in everything? Now, I got to go back to the love thing. Let's look at the 25th verse. Husband, do what? Love your wife. Let's stop right there. Husband, love your wife. Now, Apostle Paul will say, look, you are born again now. You can't function under the law anymore, but you're functioning under the law of love, this new commandment now. And now, I'm commanding you to love your wife. You're in authority now, but I want you to be the head of this household in the spirit of love. Let love be the factor that this whole relationship function on. And I want you to love her like Christ loved the church. Then the Bible says, and he gave himself for it. Right? That's love, right? So when a husband is functioning in the element of love, and he's giving himself for his wife, and the wife see that love emanating out of her husband, not judgmental, not a competition, not trying to belittle, but always supporting and edifying that wife out of love. And that's another word, go with love. Respect. Love and respect that wife. Then that wife is honored to submit to her husband. She's pleased. Now here's the secret that's going to bind all this together now. You see, where the error went, they went directly to that 22nd verse, and they missed the 21st verse. 21st verse is the verse that answers all the rest of the verses. All right? 21st verse says, Apostle Paul said, submitting, and that word submitting again, you see it? Submitting yourself, how? One to another in the fear of the Lord. Well, I thought the husband, well, the wife supposed to submit to her husband. That's what the Apostle Paul said. But that's the scripture we all ran to. Well, is that the same submit? To submit to wife, submit to your husband? It sure is. So you mean I got to submit to my wife? You see, that put a shoe on the other foot. See, God did not make this thing complicated. God, in person, God said, we're equal in person. God said, this authority had nothing to do with person. This authority had nothing to do with greater or lesser. This authority had to do with two things. God made man head through accountability and responsibility. That's where your headship starts and stops. Accountability and responsibility. And so what happened is, we've got the whole law mixed up. And we thought it was a ruling, me Tarzan, you Jan. And they tried to run the marriage like a government. But marriage based on L-O-V-E. So it says, now some men said, I ain't supposed to submit to my wife. My wife supposed to submit to me. That was Ephesians 5:22 say. Well, that's why I look up those definitions. Submit, yielding. That sounds a little bit easier. I can yield better than I can submit. As a man, it don't deal with my ego. I can yield to my wife. Yielding yourself one to another. Giving yourself one to another. In other words, I need to submit to you as much as you submit to me. Because I'm not always right. Because the Holy Spirit is going to deal with us as one. But when he deal with us as one, there's still a person that's responsible for the outcome of this thing. There's still a person that's accountable for the outing of this thing. So God said somebody had to be the one responsible here. Even though the wife come up with a good answer, and you're not gonna say no because you won't have the wrong answer. That's what you're gonna have. If she got the right answer, you're gonna have the wrong answer. Just because to save your face, to say I'm right, to say I'm the head out, no, we're not gonna do it like that. We're gonna do it like this. And you wrong as coup de brows. So my point is this still had the element of the Holy Spirit functioning in the marriage. A marriage is no submission without the Holy Spirit. So when we submit to one another, the Holy Spirit is functioning. God gives wisdom. It don't make no difference who it come through. Why? Because we're on the same team here. There's no big me, little you. just God told Moses that he needs some help through Jethro. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. He said, man, you're going to kill yourself trying to judge all these people by yourself. Get you some help here. He said, and I want you to let them handle the little things and let them bring the major thing to you. You make the final decision on these things. But let them handle it. So what God was doing is God was taking some of the strand off of Moses, and he got some help. Joshua and those 70 were helping him to take some of the weight off of him. But at the end, guess who was responsible? Moses. The 70 made a decision on their own. But the little thing, the little matter. You see, so let's bring this over into marriage now. So God said, I need somebody accountable. Why are these children not saved? Why this house in lack? When God will know something, God could hold that man responsible, that husband responsible, because you're my spokesperson here. Two heads of the free, right? So God needs somebody that he can call on, and that's why husband got to take their place, born again husband got to take their place in marriage, because those women are tied carrying that responsibility of that man, the weight of it. I tell you what, so I'm back in the day when all these bill creditors used to be calling, maybe y'all never been there, these creditors. Call and we talk to my wife all kind of way. Give me that phone. I said, let me handle these crazy people here. You don't have to be sweating this. This is my responsibility. Let me deal with that. You go enjoy. You don't need to carry none of this burden. That's my job. I don't care who made it. I'm taking the slack here. Let them talk to me. I'm the man. Let them talk to the man. And I'm covering my wife, you see. You see, what I'm saying is the responsibility and accountability fall on the husband. And so when you got a husband taking the responsibility and accountability and loving you and protecting you, isn't it easy to yield? Isn't it easy to submit? You want to submit. Oh, I don't worry about that. My husband take care of that. Now, I ain't talking about keeping somebody in the stupid blind. You got some women in the stupid blind. You know what I mean, stupid blind? They don't know nothing about nothing. Because the husband thinks he's supposed to handle everything. No, he ain't supposed to handle everything. Submit to one another. Everybody should know what everybody knows. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It should be open book on everything. And what am I saying? I'm saying that God made this thing easy, and then the devil tried to take the joy out of it, bring the competition in it. Who right and who wrong? No, it's not who right and who wrong. When the marriage relationship is submitted properly, it's ease. Marriage is ease. We make it difficult when this competitive spirit rises up in my way. Or no way. No, let's pray and see what God says about this. See, that's what you can't. You bring the union up together in Christ. We're talking about Christian marriages now. I'm not talking about slew-footed marriage. One man saved, the other one is acting a jack and will go out and drink and run women and do it. I'm not talking about that. A wife submit to a husband as long as that husband is following God. When that husband stop pausing, follow me as I follow who? When that husband stop following Christ, a wife is not subjected to submitting to that craziness fool. It's the truth. Now I'm trying to lay the scripture out and playing truth in our everyday experiences so we can understand what God's function of marriage is and what God's role of the house is and why man is the head and not head by position of rule, of boss, no, out of responsibility and what? Accountability. That's the rule for marriage. And wives submit when a wife submits willingly, the more that wife submit, or the more that husband love the wife, the more the wife be willing to submit. It's easy. You see? Satan trying to make it hard. If Satan can divide anybody, he wants to divide husband and wife. Bring the vision, and he try to use the book to bring the vision in the home. And then what God said all. God said, husband, love your wife. If your wife not submitting to you, you might not be loving her like God said love her. Might not be respecting her. Might not be esteeming her highly. You see what I'm saying? You might be the five fault finder. Why this house ain't never clean? Because you keeping it dirty. That's why it ain't clean. You got some tripe in there. Now, I'm not trying to get into all that. But my point is that love was the factor of bringing this thing home, of making this thing complete, of bringing headship into the home. And then it wasn't a question of authority. When this thing is properly in line with the word of God, ain't no question. With the pastor, Miss Kelly, ain't no question who's the head of that marriage. Ain't no question. Why? Because he loved Miss Kelly. And she has no problem submitting to him. He's her golden goose. What I'm saying is, I'm trying to show how to make this thing easy. Husband, love your wife. I didn't say judge your wife. I said love your wife. You see it? Like Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church. Christ gave himself for it. Christ forgave the church for every one of their mistakes. We stay mad for 3 days. and sometimes by reading a strength full. No one talk. Why? Because love forgives. You see? I'm telling the truth. The Bible, they got a scripture talking where Sarah called Abraham Lord. You know, that's how much she was submitted to him. But if she called him Lord, he might have been calling her my queen. You see what I'm saying? One man said, if you want your wife to treat you like a king, you treat her like a queen. And she's going to treat you. What I'm saying, love, submit to one another. Now, let me say to them and move on to the next subject. I will tell some of my people in some of those marriages. Did I counsel you guys? Yeah, I counseled them. And so I told them, you know, my wife, to this day, when I go home, my wife got my bath clothes already set out for me, my towel, my slippers, night clothes, everything I need already in the bathroom for me. And I would say, you want me to tell you how to get your wife to do that for you? And they want some deep secret? I said, do it for her. That's what love do. Love just don't wait to be served. My brother came home one day, one of my older brothers. I told him the story already. Mm-hmm. And then I said, my wife was serving me dinner. He said, your wife serve you? I said, hold it. I serve her. You see? I don't just do to receive like I'm some great master. I do it unto her. And so what happens is you start an effect. Here's another word for submitting to one another. I use this word. Pleasing one another. That's a good word. I say, I can see that. That's better than submit and make me sound weak. Make me don't sound like a full man, you see. Husband, submit to your wife. I feel like a... Feel kind of punkish, you know what I'm saying? But when you put that word pleasing one another in the fear of the Lord, that's another word to submit, pleasing one another. When you please one another, you can start off, if you don't be careful, you start a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. To see who start trying to out-please each other. I tell my wife, I love you. She said, I love you more. I said, oh, all right, Chuck, I'm trying to win something here. You ever heard that statement? I love you more. I said, we can competition, who love each other most? But it's a good thing. And it bring the element of joy to a relationship. All of a sudden, your relationship gets joyous again. You sit down at work, man, what can I do for my wife tonight? Instead of what you can do for you. Don't that flip the script? Well, I won't know what somebody can do for you, but when you start thinking, what, I'm pleasing one another, what can I do for her? And you think about it all day. And you stop by this little shop, and you see something, boy, just look like your wife. You, for no occasion, you bring it home. And she just gets so excited. And now she's thinking, what can I do for him? And then, you see what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
Pleasing one another. Pleasing one another. If you can catch on to that, it'll take the stress off of your relationship, and it'll bring the joy, even bring the romance back. But everybody is out for me. You don't do nothing for me. You've heard that before. I ain't saying who said it. But this the kind of love Paul saying, love your wife as Christ gave the church. Jesus always trying to figure out, what can I do for them? But he ain't gonna say it if you don't do nothing for him. How many souls you won in the last 6 months? You see? And Jesus said, Lord, if they only let me help them. If they only do something for me, I can do something for them. It's a supernatural exchange. That's what love is. Love is exchange. Love is giving, not want to receive all the time. Some people say, well, I don't know receive what you've been given. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall you also reap. Are you trying to see where this thing is going about the mission thing? Is it a little bit clearer how this love factor it motivates the relationship and put the authority back in the relationship? It don't sound like just controlling the relationship. It sound like something that I can live with. And that was the element of marriage. That's why the marriage was honorable in God's sight and not was work. And it was a joy. It was a joy to go home. Some people don't want to go home. I ain't gonna tell that one. All right. I had a joke in my head, but I ain't gonna tell it. Now, here's the next thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You remember that one? For this is right. That's Ephesians 6:1. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, just how powerful this is. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the right thing to do. Think about your relationship with your parents. Did you always obey and do things right? And then he said, this is the first commandment with promise. And then here's the promise in the third verse. That it may be well with thee, and that thou may live long on earth. Isn't that powerful? He said, because you obey your parents in the Lord and do that which is right, God said, I'll put this with a promise that you may live, it'll extend your life. You're honorable to your parents, it'll extend your life. Then the opposite of that, and I'm closing these last 20 seconds, the opposite of honoring your parents is being dishonorable. And the opposite of that is still living long upon the earth. I'm going to let y'all stay with the rest here. You can get cut off because of disobedience. First commandment with a promise. All right? Okay, class. So that one more session we're going to deal with this. There's going to be authority within the church. We deal with the world. We deal with the family. And the next one we're going to deal with is authority in the church. All right? Okay, go in peace.